USA.org.
Real people, real radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Welcome to Angry Beaver Radio here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com. Broadcasting live out of the globalist occupied Kanatistan, just north of the border, eh? And today is January the 3rd, 2015, on our first show of the year. And I guess we will be recapping 2014, some of the biggest stories, you know, of the year, from mainstream stories to maybe some of the stories that weren't covered. You know, maybe we can talk about some of the biggest stories of the year that were not covered, that were ignored by the mainstream media whores in 2014. But I don't know, what were some of the big stories? I think some of the biggest stories out there was that you had the missing Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. That went missing and disappeared, and they haven't seemed to have found it. So, and that was just 24/7. CNN and a lot of other news networks were just playing that 24/7 for just weeks upon weeks upon weeks.
Yeah, it is a bit strange that they would have so much coverage on it, and then they never find it, and then but the coverage stops. You know, the mystery's still out there.
Yeah, but then you have these other missing planes, right? There was a recent one. Missing Air Asia flight, likely at bottom of sea, officials say. The recent Air Asia flight that went missing was just last week, I guess.
Yeah, that one they say they found the debris. So they can find the debris of that one. Why couldn't they find the one in the spring?
Yeah, but you didn't get this nonstop, you know, 24/7 coverage of it, right? But there was also the reports of the 11 missing Libyan planes raising 9/11 terror fears. Reported at a mainstream media, USA Today, a lot of other mainstream media sources. And it was, but I mean, you didn't hear about, you didn't hear 24/7 coverage of where, you know, the search for these missing planes. You didn't get the same type of coverage that Flight 370 got. So.
Well, what was so special about that airplane?
Yeah, that's what makes you wonder what was so special about that airplane. And you know, the 11 missing Libyan planes that raised 9/11 terror fears just gets a brief mention.
Exactly. So what makes any other plane any different than the other?
Well, wasn't one of them was carrying the prominent AIDS researchers, the one that disappeared, wasn't it?
Right, yeah. Agreed.
They were going to a big AIDS conference. They either had the cure for AIDS or maybe some kind of new treatment, maybe.
Yeah, I heard a couple of conspiracy theories about some of the people who were supposedly on this missing Flight 370. But I mean, at the very least, it was a distraction from covering any other news. At the very least, but at the most, yeah. I mean, there's probably more to the story. There probably was something more to this whole thing.
But yes, well, it's probably an interdimensional portal, but then I could see how it's a distraction because it's not provable. You just have a theory.
Well, after a portal. Yeah, I have like a dozen other planes go missing, and they briefly get mentioned, and then this 13th one, you know, a little odd. You'd think they'd just capitalize on all of it. If it's only for a distraction, you'd think they'd use every one of them as a distraction. Hey, another plane crash. Okay, they'll keep us busy for a couple more weeks. Or, you know.
The one in Ukraine was pretty big. But that one was probably shot down. That was like a tool of the war that they're trying to do.
Yeah, that plane, there was another one shot down over, it looked like Ukraine, and the finger pointing then commenced as to who did it, and I don't know who did it.
So, well, they're all saying, well, the rebels did it and all that kind of stuff, so who knows, really?
Yeah.
But it is reminiscent of the 9/11 one that went, that crashed in Pennsylvania.
In Shanksville, yeah, supposedly.
Just because the debris was scattered around. So it's probably shot down in the air, maybe.
All the information basically changes from time to time. And, you go with one, and then after a while that fades away, and then you get another one, and all this kind of stuff, and who knows.
Yeah. They could have blown up in the air, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how it could blow up in the air unless you have problems, you know.
Yeah, they either had to have some device on board, or they did find some sides of it where it looked like it had been, like, hit with an old, old gun. Like, you know, the old plane warfare where they had the actual guns on the plane.
Yeah, I remember, like, the Lancaster bomber type thing.
Yeah.
Like the one at the, was that near the, near the lakefront there.
Yeah, back in the days when they didn't have helmets, they just had a leather cap.
Leather cap, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so they're using some old weaponry then.
What were some of the other big stories you guys can think of the past year?
Well, obviously Rob Ford is always a big story just because he became the most famous guy in 2013, I guess. So this year it was more like, or last year, I mean, 2014, he was more in the spotlight than ever. But he's also he changed his character sort of when he did all the rehab, and then.
So what's the deal? What's the update with the cancer battle with former mayor of Toronto, Rob Ford?
Well, they say it's going well, but he's going through the multiple rounds of chemo, so that's probably what's destroying it. It's like maybe the cancer is shrinking, but then the actual therapy is destroying him.
Right.
But he says he's getting back to health, so I think he's been to 3 or 4 rounds of the radiation chemotherapy thing.
Right. Well, hopefully he gets better. I got to say, I mean, you know, for all his faults, Toronto has a... as a nightmare on their hands now with the new mayor. An absolute
it's a new world order.
And if they had have elected Olivia Chow, it would have been the exact same nightmare that they're dealing with now with John Tory. There's no difference between Olivia Chow and John Tory, I'll tell you that much. Criminal gangsters. Yeah, so, I mean, for all Rob Ford's faults, and, you know, I've criticized him before, but, I mean, I can't even compare Rob Ford to these scum. I mean...
He's still on council, too, so he'll be still a...
And Toronto's going to be in a lot of trouble with that new mayor, that's all I can say. And so is...
He'll be in opposition.
Because I'm sure this new mayor of Toronto, he'll work lovingly with the provincial government, the Liberal...
Yeah, Smart Track, and they're doing... his new scam is a zero-tolerance campaign for... in rush hour, I guess. They're going to start handing out tickets left and right in rush hour.
Oh, just another money grab, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, because remember he was going to get traffic flowing by making the lanes, by unwidening the lanes or something? What was it? Shrinking the lanes? It's
like, well, then you're going to have to
Narrowing the lanes. It's going to get traffic flowing.
It's called traffic calming, okay? This is this UN Agenda 21, globalized central planning, traffic calming, and they're going to narrow the lanes. There's other ideas to put these bump outs at intersections so it narrows the lane down to one lane at the intersections. So everyone's got to drive around, go down to one lane, single file, and then it goes back into two lanes. And it's just absurd. Another thing they're doing, what they've done here, is they've got new lights. And these aren't old lights. It's not like, you know, they've put it, it's all timed. And it's timed so that The main stretch, they change red for no reason. Like, you have all these side streets with lights, and nobody's on them. They're barely being used. Nobody's at the light. Nobody's been even near the light. The light changes by itself for no reason every so many minutes to purposely bring the main street to a halt. So it's just it's basically just to slow the traffic down, to slow it down.
Well, I remember when I was young, any street light out there would always blink green because there'd be nobody around. You just consider it just a four-way stop, that's all. But it was always blinking green. It was only regulated during the day or rush hour, that type of thing. After 11 o'clock or so, it was just blinking green, all of them.
Well, it's supposed to be timed out, and the way they used to time it out was if they were on timers, if you hit a green and you're doing the speed limit, you should be hitting green, 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 green all the way down the track, right? And that's properly timed out. But then they came out with sensors, and if it's properly using sensors, then the main, artery – it doesn't change if it doesn't sense anybody there, if somebody doesn't come and push the button. If nobody comes off these little side streets where there's a light, it doesn't just change on its own on a timer. It senses stuff in the road. It's got sensors in the road, or you push a button across the crosswalk. Instead, with the new traffic calming, they just have the main artery turn red every 5 minutes, regardless of if there's nobody on the side streets, just to make the main arteries come to a full stop. And that's part of traffic calming and getting traffic moving better by making it such a nightmare to get anywhere that you just walk or ride a bicycle. And you ride your e-bike around in the wintertime. That's the big trend in 2014 and going into 2015 is riding your electric motorcycle that does 15 kilometers an hour. In the ice and snow. On the sidewalk, the wrong way up a one-way street. And I see this almost every day in Hamilton. It's great. It's hilarious. It's really like that movie Idiocracy. But it's even worse because they're driving like these dinky-looking smart cars that go really slow. This is driving an e-bike through the snow.
But it's funny, John, about one-way streets. You cannot drive or anything like that against the opposite way on a one-way street. But if people are walking on the sidewalk, they can walk both ways on a one-way street. Go figure.
Yes, and that's what makes these people riding around on their e-bikes think that they – well, it's a one-way street, but if I just drive on the sidewalk, I'll be fine, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, this is good. And another thing is motorists are going to call for these assholes to get licensed. And I'm not saying that's the answer. I'm just saying the motorists are going to eventually run over enough of them and get sued, and they're just going to demand that these people have license and insurance on their e-bike because the way the people, some of the riders ride around on them. But I think it's just absurd. I mean, when we were kids, you put your bicycle away in the shed in the wintertime, and it came out in the springtime. Because we live in Canada, there's snow everywhere. These bicycles are not meant to be driven around in the snow and slush and the icy roads. You're going to get killed. But nowadays, no. Oh, just wear this flimsy plastic helmet. It's the law. And ride around in the snow. Yeah, see if you can cut off that plow truck over there. I mean, you don't have any grip on a two-wheel machine in the ice and snow. So now everyone's driving around on these e-bikes. It's just hilarious.
Just an oversized bike, that's all it is.
And are they carrying their iPhones as well?
They might as well be.
Well, it's the same. They're walking around with their iPhones and getting hit,
Well, it's the same with motorcyclists. Motorcyclists, typically, you put your machine away for the winter in a climate where we live. And more and more, you're seeing even the people riding the gas-powered motorcycles. More and more of them are riding them. Like, you see them riding around still, Hey, the street looks clean enough. Okay, I'm taking out my motorcycle. It's like, you're nuts. You hit a patch of black ice, you're going to be sideways and underneath some car or something.
But that's the worst is the black ice with the little layer of light snow on top of it. I've fallen like a couple of times like that, you know, just, you know, you don't know because the whole sidewalk and everything looks pure white except this one part. You can't even tell. It all looks the same. Because at one time when I was getting off of work, I had my backpack on anyway, and I was walking.
Black along. One?
Huh.
Sorry, go ahead, Mike.
back to the bar.
No, sorry. Not the one with the white patch on it. My backpack, the light one. And I was walking along the parking lot, and I decided, okay, I'm going to go out to the sidewalk. So when I first stepped on the sidewalk, boom, boom, down on my back I went. I stepped on that black patch, black ice with the white-covered snow.
Well, here's the thing, and I'm not advocating that the government makes some laws, you know, more laws to regulate these people that are driving recklessly on bicycles or e-bikes. I'm not saying that. I mean, it's not the government's job to say, oh, you can't ride your bike in the winter. But what I am saying is that, like, you know, four-wheelers, all-terrain vehicles, they're fairly cheap. You can get one for pretty cheap. They get pretty expensive. You can spend $5,000-$10,000 on a brand new one, but you can get one for under $1,000. And four-wheel drive, four wheels, traction. I mean, but it's completely illegal here in Canada and especially in Ontario to drive them around on the streets, especially in metropolitan areas. Now, some places up north in rural areas, they let them drive around on them on the roads, but down here in the rural areas, you can't. But it's okay to drive your e-bike in the glare ice up the wrong way of a one-way street. That's okay as long as you got your helmet on. You're good to go according to the government. But no, you can't drive a small four-wheel drive vehicle around. No, that's illegal. That's only for the trail in the bush. You can't drive that. I think it's silly. I don't see why you couldn't have four-wheelers driving on the roads. I guess you could have the argument, oh, you know, you need turn signals, but those are easy to add on.
Or just use your hands to do the hand signals.
Yeah, but you could add on, you know, left and right turn signals, no big deal. They all got brake lights already and headlights. So yeah. I honestly don't see the reason. But
well, when you're riding your bike, the proper way is to use your hand signals and stuff like that. How are you supposed to steer the bike if you're doing these hand signals to go left and going right and all that kind of stuff?
Well, look, part of the reason why you're seeing more and more of this is not just because of stupidity. It's also because of the economy. People just can't afford it to get around, so they're doing whatever they can, whatever's cheaper. So you're seeing people riding their bloody e-bike around in the wintertime, and it's dangerous as hell. I mean, I'm sure they know that they're taking a big risk doing it, but why are we banning something that would be safer, that they have better traction with, that's an affordable transportation? You know, e-bikes are more money. You could get a brand-new four-wheeler for less than an e-bike. You know, like $1,000 or $900, you go get a brand-new four-wheeler.
Right.
And boot around town on that, and that'd be way better in the snow and going up the hills and stuff than these things. Much safer, too. But no, it's illegal. So,
I know everything is supposed to be legal or illegal. You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah, pretty soon the e-bike won't even be sustainable enough, and you know they'll regulate us down to bicycle.
Yeah, I don't know. They seem to come out with laws that they don't even do anything with. They don't do anything about them. Like people, one of the first laws was littering. I forget how much it is for a littering fine, but I've never heard of anybody, you know, having to pay a littering fine or people using cell phones. I just hear of accidents and possible people using cell phones, but nothing's done about it that I can see. So why drag another one in there to try and get some revenue, you know, when you don't do the proper thing with the other ones?
Yeah. Did you guys? Did you know that in the Canadian law back in, I guess, the turn of the century, that spitting on any walkway or sidewalk is illegal? You can get charged for doing that.
Well, I believe in China it's like that, or some Asian countries, it's the same thing if you litter or spit or something like that.
Yeah, you're not, yeah.
Because you see a lot of people spit on the sidewalk. Remember in the exactly. old,
yeah, but
the
in
old Tron Truth Seekers days.
Yeah, I heard something about, I remember hearing something about that law. I can't remember where it's from, but the spitting on the sidewalk thing. But apparently in Alberta, they're supposed to, when you get out of jail, you're supposed to give your horse and your guns back.
Really? I didn't know that happened.
I don't think they do that anymore, but they're supposed to. That's the way it was in the old days. In Alberta, you know, when you get out of jail, okay, here's your horse and your guns back. Served your time. It's not like that now, is it?
No, no way.
Yeah, down at Young and Dundas, there was an atheist. Remember, there's the atheist guy who would be spitting a lot, I think. Some different characters would be spitting.
Yeah, I remember
they couldn't handle the truth.
No.
Spitting?
Remember that guy that wore the Santa Claus hat who was yelling and screaming at Junior?
Yeah, he was spitting a lot, but he had an open can of beer too on the sidewalk.
Oh, he was a character.
He was a bad Santa.
He had an open spit, not a concealed. You know?
So what happened there? This is all at Young and Dundas, one of the basically the Times Square of Toronto. You guys are handing out flyers, DVDs. You got I can't remember if you had the table set up or one of the rolling carts. This is just like the DVD table. And then this, I don't know if he was a dwarf or like one of the short little people, a midget or not, but he was a short guy. He dressed like Santa Claus. He appeared to be a drunken bad Santa and tried to start something down at the Truth Seeker table.
Yeah, because Daniel was interviewing me and he's cursing and swearing at Junior in the background, and I'm trying to, keep my composure with this idiot at the back, yelling at Junior. Like Tom's standing there, ready to see if this guy's going to do anything. So I guess somebody called the cops or whatever, and then the cops came by and took his beer away from him. So,
yeah, it looked like they just let him go, but they poured it out right in front of him. So that probably hurt his feeling.
Yeah, it would hurt my feelings, too, if I have my beer poured out.
So the Ghost of Christmas Past.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But, we had some good times and not so good times, when they had, when the authorities came up and tried to shut down the table.
Yeah, there was really none last year, though. That was the 2014 one in the first year. There was really no Toronto Truth Seekers type of meetup.
No, I think the last one was in 2013, and I think it was around May.
Yeah, so now it's been over a year. We're closing in on 2 years.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what's happened with the group. I don't know if Junior's still ahead of it, John Kiefer. I'm not sure who's ahead of it now.
Yeah.
I think so, it's just for information. That's all it is.
So I can't remember, guys. I'd have to go look at the video because it was a while ago. So the bad Santa, angry Santa trying to start a fight. And I can't remember. Was he a midget?
Maybe a little bit taller than one. But, he had a foul mouth on him anyway.
Quasi-midget? Semi-midget?
Yeah, semi-midget, yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, he was big. Well, he was yelling at Junior, who's in a wheelchair, so he was into the guy. He was in the guy's face, even if he was a shorter guy. Because obviously, if you're in a wheelchair, you're going to be in a lower height.
Yeah, you'd be seeing eye to eye type thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was that kind of argument.
Mm, yeah.
Like a midget at a urinal, I knew I was going to have to stay on my toes.
Yeah. Exactly. But, we've had a lot of good times in there. And we've had a couple of, infiltrators try to, make us look bad and say our information is not based on anything and all this kind of stuff. We've had a few of those type of people.
Yeah, but a lot of them just quickly degenerate into yelling and screaming. Didn't Bad Santa do that? Like, he started to argue, and then he just degenerated into yelling and shouting match right away?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Yeah. And then
it almost seemed like a coordinated attack, though, because there's a few other guys, characters like that out. But it might have just been a group that likes to drink there during the day. They didn't like us cramping their style. Because remember, that was the Stop Global Cooling phase.
Yeah. I like that, yeah.
Of the Tron Tree Seekers.
When BK was a part of the group.
Back when we were concerned about climate change.
Well, I think we still are.
Yeah, no. Now we're in the denier camp.
Didn't the new Pope say something about climate change? It's got to be this number one thing he's got to work on. Something. What did he say? Well, I can't remember. But
he said he believed the theory of evolution. I remember that one. Where he said it doesn't conflict with his religion. Theory of evolution.
What are the
and also the exploration of outer space too? I guess.
I wonder what like the devout Catholics that you know, like, know the religion they're following quite well, and then hear the stuff, and that are paying attention, hear the stuff that this man's new pope is saying, and is realize there's a giant conflict here. Of
yeah, it's a new world order there too. It's one of the oldest religions. Even they got a new world order.
Yeah, and then him, the Catholic Church and the Muslims, he's trying to get all the religions together as one world religion.
Right, the new pope. What's his name? Pope Francis?
Yeah, Pope Francis.
Francis, right, okay.
He's a Jesuit.
Look, I've heard a lot of, you know, questionable things uttered by previous popes, but the context was kind of questionable. Oh, hold on. We'll have to get back into that.
They were not sure they're going to be able to contain the fire.
What time?
I said, you know, we've had such terrible
right
loss
back
of life.
As you're listening to Amy,
the smartest thing to do is
right
pull.
On frequency. And
they made that decision to pull, and then we watched the building collapse.
The whole building just collapsed on us inside the lobby.
Was that a secondary explosion?
Yes, it was.
That was the plan, probably.
Yeah, definitely secondary explosion. We was inside waiting to go upstairs, and on our way upstairs.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a 1-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Sea Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com. For emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Live from Dublin, Ireland.
The Earth Needs Rebels Show with Kev Bull.
Monday through Friday on True Frequency Radio.
What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea. A new world order.
What if what they really want is for us to herd children in the stadiums like we're doing? And put soldiers on the street and have Americans looking over their shoulders? Bend the law, shred the Constitution just a little bit. Because if we torture him, General, we do that, and everything that we have bled and fought and died for is over. And they've won.
Welcome back, carbon sinners, to Angry Beaver Radio here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com. Before we left for the break, we're talking about Pope Francis and his comments about climate change, and that's the number one thing that they gotta fight. And like I say, I was talking about how the previous popes, they've said a lot of questionable things, but you didn't quite know the context. They didn't provide quite the context that this pope does. And this pope provides the context that he will push any UN Agenda 21 globalist propaganda that they throw at him devoutly. And he's made this quite clear. So, I don't know, those who haven't been listening to the new pope, you should go back and listen to some of the things he said in 2014. And all I know is my jaw hit the floor. Like, there were some questionable things, popes calling for a new world order and this kind of thing in the past. But they did these popes, when they called for it, it was very vague. It didn't provide any real context of what this new order or new world order would be like, you know, their vision. So, you know, that's, I guess, is questionable. Whereas this pope is outlining the context. And it's what we've been telling people for years. It's Agenda 21. It's UN global central planning from the global level to the local level, giving you traffic calming and bike lanes everywhere.
Yeah, and he even said he rides an e-bike, doesn't he?
Why don't we turn the freeways into nothing but bike lanes? There you go.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
That'll stop global warming.
Who needs rail tracks? You can just ride your bike up the railroads. Who needs
guys, I've got some breaking news here. I just see a guy walking his e-bike up the road, and he can't ride it because it's too much snow. He's pushing his bike up the road right now as we speak. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a world-class news bulletin right here.
Live report. Where is this? What location are you seeing this at?
Right out the window here. He's pulling right up at the right up now at the intersection, right?
Yeah, there
he goes.
Mississauga, right?
Yes. We got at least about 5 centimeters on the ground, but he is having trouble pushing his e-bike to the intersection. Geez, he almost lost control of his bike walking it.
Yeah, they'll be out there fishtailing all day. Posts and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, okay. I think he's okay. Oh, man, this is breaking news.
It's a blizzard.
It's a wizard blizzard, I can tell you. Look at this.
Well, I'm not even at a window to see anything outside right now.
Yeah, well, anyway, that's a little bit of humor today, you know.
But, I can't even tell if it's snowing where I am.
Well, getting back to the Pope, guys, most people I know never talk about the Pope. Never. He's not out there every day. Well, he's out there somewhere, but giving some propaganda. But nobody talks about him. Nobody knows why he's there. what he does. They just know that he makes speeches and goes around different places, you know, handshaking and, you know, and patting people on the shoulder and stuff like this. They don't know that he's just a New World Order puppet, just like all of them, you know?
Well, this new pope, all I can say is he's blatantly just putting out propaganda. Like, he's just a propaganda, hired propaganda artist. And it's complete globalist propaganda, which is inherently anti-Christian or anti-Catholic or anti any of Judeo-Christian religion. If you understand the globalist plan, it is, you know, so it's just so absurd to have the Pope being used as a full-fledged propagandist for the UN and all this other stuff. I don't know. I just find it ridiculous.
I think he's more than a puppet. He has more control. He has a lot more. He can pull more strings than everything else. So I don't really consider him a puppet. He's more of he's more the puppet master type thing.
Yeah, because there's P2 Lodge, Opus Dei. There's a whole bunch of different secret societies just within the Catholic Vatican. It's like
I don't know how the inner workings of it work, because you have the Vatican, right, and then you've got what is it, the Jesuits, and I'm not sure how that all interworks. But all I do know is that the Vatican owns a crap load of land on the planet. I think they're number three or something.
Every major city they got prime real estate.
But the British royalty, I think, is number one, the monarch. So they're definitely heavy hitters. But as to who controls what, is it the Pope? Is it the Church? Is it the Jesuit? Is it these other secret orders within the, you know, within that area? I'm not sure. I mean, it's the same thing over here. It's too fuzzy to find out, like, to figure out who's at the top. You could tell who's involved, but who's telling who what to do. Well, here's one thing. You look at the clergy response team. The government's telling them what to do there. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Where they're telling their the different ministers and priests to tell their flocks to do Romans 13, tell your flocks to go to the camps, take your vaccines, you know, fluoridated water's good, whatever the government – basically government's God. They're using Romans 13 as a cover to tell their flocks that government's now God. So, I mean, I don't – again, who's wagging the tail here? I don't know.
Yeah, and the Pope, he goes around. He says some good things. Like, oh, he doesn't like what's happening in the Middle East. He wants to bring peace and all this stuff. And then people see that and hear that, and they say, oh, my God, he really cares. But then he's putting all this mumbo-jumbo propaganda showing at us as well. And kind of mixing it in and, like, putting icing over a cake and making it look good, you know? So, to me, why is he out there in the first place? We know why, but he doesn't care if there's any peace in the world. He just cares about his job. That's it.
Yeah, the Big Bang Theory he endorsed.
Evolution and the Big Bang Theory. He just endorses everything. He'll just come out and endorse, and he wants to be friends with everyone. I don't know. This is the strangest Pope I've ever seen. And again, it's not. I'm not being criticizing the Catholic religion here. I'm the stuff, the propaganda that he's spewing is anti their religion, is against the Catholic religion inherently, or and many religions, many God believing religions. So it's just it's just weird to see. And I doubt there's probably quite a few people that don't realize what it is. If they don't know what globalist is or the global agenda under the UN, then they may not recognize or notice it. Because like you said, Mark, he says a lot of good things sometimes, but it mixes in with other stuff. So they try to hide it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hidden in plain sight.
Yeah, and also they are sun worshippers too as well. If you look at his staff – right at the top, it's like a little round ball that represents the sun.
Right, but you'll find that in many religions.
Oh yeah, yeah, sure.
Sun worship and stars, you know, astrology, whatever.
Even with the portrait of Jesus, you could see the round ball at the back, or it looks like the sun.
Well, all I can say for 2015 is keep your ears on whatever Pope Francis is saying. I'm sure he'll have some doozies because he's already said a few. And they weren't just – he was providing context of the globalist agenda. You know, it wasn't just a short snippet of some previous pope talking vaguely about a new world order.
Like John Paul II.
Yeah, this is just cut and dry, you know, hey – I'm Pope Francis. I'm a globalist UN shill. And, you know, basically, screw the Catholic religion. We're going to do things my way. I don't know. I mean, there's definitely got to be some uproar within the Catholic community, but I'm not sure.
Well, we'll see this year if he takes the stand in an international common law court trial.
The ITTCS or whatever it is?
Yeah, we'll see if the summons gets him, if he responds to the summons.
Was there a new one, or is this from the previous time?
No, I think it's always just going to happen in the future, always a few months away.
Yeah, but wasn't this supposed to happen like 2 years ago?
Yeah, and that's the trouble, is you get summons to a – you can get summons to a city, I guess, but the court doesn't have a physical location. So you just show up in Brussels, I guess, and try to find a court.
Yeah, the court of no fixed address, right?
Yeah, no, it's in Sunnyvale Trailer Park.
That's the thing, is that people are people can get concerned with someone like the Pope. You see he's got so much power, and you see all these conspiracies going along that it's like you'd want some kind of, like, justice, but then you can get misled into believing, you know, that there's a big court trial coming up.
Yeah,
and that the Pope's going to have to defend himself, but... Really, the Pope doesn't seem to have to defend himself at all. He just lets all this stuff get said.
Yeah, that's
the
true.
None of the conspiracies there is.
Yeah, none of the big wigs, you know, nothing happens to them. They're all protected, so this thing about the Pope being summoned, it's ridiculous, you know. Because nothing happened to, nothing hurt Bill Clinton, and nothing hurt George W. Bush, Herbert Walker Bush, nothing. There's been no justice, towards them, so, you know.
Well, George W. Bush is enjoying his retirement life, and he's a great painter. Have you seen his work? It's really, really nice.
Yeah, what's he painting, dogs or something, or fruit?
He was doing that, then he changed over. I think he's doing something else, because they wanted him to do more scenery-type pictures.
Yeah, like Hitler used to do.
Yeah, exactly.
To make him look good, Mike?
They have different things that they like to do when they're not working.
Yeah.
So when they're retired, they can go and... Obama, he'll be teaching golf after his presidency.
But, I mean, these people are really all just puppets. I mean, we could be mad for what happened under their watch as the spokesman, but they don't call any shots. I mean, they're just puppets. You know, even when Obama signs executive order, Bush signs executive order to do end runs around Congress and around the Constitution – and violate the Constitution against the law, nothing happens, and they didn't make those decisions on their own. They're merely puppets.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, a lot of bad things happened under Bush, a lot of bad things that happened under Obama, but persecuting the puppet isn't going to get us anywhere, really. And even like in the court of law, we need to go beyond the puppet and persecute those people. I mean, yeah, sure, the puppet had to know somewhat what they were doing. But
oh, yeah.
You need to go after the puppet masters.
Exactly. There you go.
No accountability.
Well, Brzezinski?
Brzezinski's, the Rockefellers, the Soroses. There's so many players. The Kissingers, I'm sure Cheney was less of a puppet and more of a player. But I don't know how high up. Same with Rumsfeld there.
Yeah.
What about Harry Reid, though?
Harry Reid, he's a scumbag, yeah. But again, he's a puppet, but he's a real dirty puppet.
Yeah, see, they might have got to him, though, because what they're saying, they're saying he's got he's got a broken face and multiple broken ribs, and they're blaming on an exercise equipment accident.
Jeez.
But who knows what goes on behind the scenes. Harry Reid, they could have done an attack on.
Yeah, he probably got punched out by a hooker or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's getting to be too much because I think if it was, they just sent him a message because it says he's going to be resuming his duties next week in Washington. They expect him to make a recovery. Just exercise equipment mishap, they say. But these guys, who knows how far they're taking their workouts. Because you don't go along with certain agendas, then...
What else do we have? We had the continuing NSA leaks, right? Apparently they admitted that they're spying on Facebook. Which, basically, we already knew that all of this. It's just, you know, they're admitting it to the rest of the public. Us conspiracy.
But Obama...
We're talking about this forever.
Yeah, that Obama didn't admit it. Sorry, Mike.
Yeah, that was just their New Year's resolution. That's all it was. But they always do that kind of thing anyway, right? You know, they always bring in something on, everything's got to go up, everything's jacked up, and prices and oil prices are going down or whatever it is. On January 1st, that's when you're going to get fined more money to illegally parking on the street. You know, that's what's going to be happening now. Everybody, like the authorities are going to go around to your car and ticket everybody along the street. You know, because you got to keep the traffic flowing. But then again, Tory wants to make the lane smaller. How can you make the flow of traffic work properly if you want to make the lanes smaller? What about people who are driving Hummers? They can't drive these lanes. It's too big.
Well, then they'll have to get an e-bike.
They're going to have to get a Hummer e-bike, I guess.
Well, but that's the point of the traffic calming. It's not about getting traffic moving. It's about slowing it down, jamming it up, and bringing it to a halt and making it so ridiculously unbearable that the average person is just like, I'm going to find another way to work, especially in the cities. So that's what this is all about. It comes in the form of narrower lanes, cutting off a whole lane with these bump outs. And adjusting the timing of the lights so it just randomly stops the flow of traffic for no reason. There's nobody coming the other way. There hasn't been a car for half an hour coming down. Like, there's been no cars, and the light just keeps changing. You're like, there's no cars. You're like, okay, well, it must be an old light still on an old timer. No, it's a brand new light, just been installed. All the lights on the street have. They're timing it so they stop the main artery, the main flow of traffic, stop it all the time. It's being done on purpose. It's not like they're stupid. They think the public's stupid. They think they can dress this up like we're going to get traffic flowing and then do all these ridiculous stunts and jam everything up even worse. And then they run around, see what a good job we did? Vote for me again for city council. Vote for me again for mayor, you know. And this is Agenda 21 implemented on the local level because the car is an enemy. They're waging war on the car because it's unsustainable.
The smokers as well, because they up the fines for smoking on a patio or in a park with a playground.
Well, they make it illegal to drive anything else. You can't, you know, you can't drive around a go-kart. You can't drive around an ATV.
Or a dirt bike.
You know how much tax money we could save by not having to plow the roads ever in the winter? Just by allowing people to just say, okay, it's wintertime. Get out your skidoos. Get out your snowmobiles.
And your snowshoes.
Snowshoes and snowmobiles.
That's a great idea.
You could drive around the roads. You can get an old beater snowmobile for a couple $100, few $100, boot you around quick enough. You know, that'll still do probably 70, 80 mile an hour.
Yeah, they used to do that in rural areas years and years ago.
They still do. You go up to a place like Elliott Lake and that, you'll see. I mean, they do still plow the roads, but they boot around. There's so much snow up there. They boot around the side of the roads and then through the town, and they don't get bugged. But, you know, it's unheard of here. But think how much money you'd save plowing. Just let the skidoos just keep packing it down, and you drive around, and when it melts away.
Yeah, I've been in the winter and even in downtown Toronto, Dundas Square, and I don't see any skidoos down there.
No, you never would. Even in you know, some of the smaller towns of, like, say, you know, 100,000 or 50,000 north, you'll get in trouble if you're caught driving around on the road on your snowmobile. So same with an ATV or any of that stuff. And these are all cheap, cheaper on gas. They burn less fuel. They got better traction on this stuff, and you wouldn't have to plow. I mean, if you'd had the snowmobiles packing everything down on the roads all winter, and then you could easily drive around on top of that with your four-wheeler, and I don't know.
Or even a dog sled. You saw Sergeant Preston of the Yukon back in the 1950s or so. He had a whole bunch of dogs pulling him on the sled. So that's another way you can do it.
Yeah, definitely. And the point is why should the government ban any form of transportation? They ban it. Okay, you can drive this car, and now we're going to make it so impossible to drive your car anywhere through Agenda 21 and traffic calming under the guise of making traffic flow better by making it stop. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and it all ties in with the cigarette laws. You can't smoke here or there, but they'll sell it. Oh, you don't drink beer outside, you know, on the street, but they sell it, you know. Like, it's ridiculous what you're talking about there, John.
It's funny how intimately Agenda 21 and the anti-smoking lobby is interconnected, because the big spearhead of the anti-smoking lobby is Gro Harlem Brundtland, also the author of the Brundtland Report, which is the predecessor in the building blocks for UN Agenda 21. If you know what Agenda 21 is, you must read the Brundtland Report by Gro Harlem Brundtland. You can find it in PDF form. It's probably on one of the UN sites or UNESCO sites. You can read it there. And it is the building block to Agenda 21. There's other books and documents that predate that from the Club of Rome and other organizations that are also part of the building blocks of Agenda 21. And so she was spearheaded the anti-smoking movement into what we have now, where, you know, you can't smoke within 7 or 15 kilometers of a city core, of a downtown city core, anywhere on the street. You know, like, we're seeing laws like that come crack down and into effect.
And you're not allowed to smoke close to, when you're filling your car up with gas. You can't. You have to be 10, 20 feet away from a gas station. You can't smoke when you're there.
Or else, yeah, the whole place explosion will blow hazard. Up. I noticed that sign. I also noticed one about a cell phone. You can't use a cell phone near the gas tank.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So how powerful is a cell phone signal if it can cause an explosion there?
Gro Harlem Brundtland, you know, for those who don't know, had a big part in forming UN Agenda 21, as well as spearheading the anti-smoking Nazi movement that you see today. And she is a former prime minister of Norway, and I would describe her as some grotesque Norwegian wildebeest. And, like, just, you know, turn the...
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know about the anti-smoking thing that's going on. I thought it was just to, you know, because people who are against smoking, no one bothers them. They're trying to, you know, to have a free, you know, smoke-free, city. But I didn't know it had anything to do with Agenda 21.
Well, also, you'll notice that the supposed not, you know, the anti-smoking movement that wants to ban it everywhere. Well, now you've got these e-cigarettes taking off. People that are no longer smoking cigarettes, they're vaporizing this nicotine juice, whatever the heck it is. And these are people who no longer smoke cigarettes. Now, is it good for you? No, I don't think it's good for you, but I don't think it's comparable to smoking cigarettes. Smoking cigarettes is much worse. Now, these are people who didn't intend to – many of these people didn't intend to quit smoking cigarettes. They just tried these vaporizers and said, hey, this is – I'd rather do this. So their health is better because of these things. Now, the anti-smoking people, the same ones the government wants to ban these e-cigarettes and the nicotine juice, And it, you know, it's, you know why? It's because of the tax money. If you calculate how much this nicotine juice is, somebody who smokes maybe a pack a day would spend maybe $10 on this juice. It lasts them a week, so $10 a week. Now, somebody who smokes a pack a day and buys cigarettes from the store is gonna, they're gonna spend about $60-$70 instead of $10. Now, out of that $60 or $70, more than half of that money is taxes going to the government. On the e-juice, on the e-cigarette, I don't know how much tax money. It's probably only a measly 15%, which is still pretty high, or 13%. The HST tax is the only thing I would assume is charged on the juice. So a week's worth of e-cigarette juice, they're making $1.30. And a week's worth of tobacco, of cigarettes from the store, the government is making $35 off you. So that's why they want to ban the juice. It's not, they don't care about your health,
mm-hmm.
you know.
But I think, like, a lot of some of the like bars and stuff like that down in Toronto, they got like, excuse me, they got patios at the top of the buildings where you can sit up on the roof, a makeshift bar and everything up on top of the roof there, and you can smoke until you're blue in the face. So you're not hurting anybody down below where there's no smoking. So, you know, smoke rises, right? So you might as well have all these patios on top of these buildings, and so people can sit up there and drink and smoke and, you know, do whatever they want.
Yeah, Mike, but they'll find an excuse to ban that as well. It's all about control. That's what I think John was saying on another program.
Right.
Yeah. You know, they just want money or they just want control. That's all it is.
Yeah, they want to micromanage every aspect of your life, and they'll come up with any cockamamie excuse, it seems, to do it. But, yeah, if they were truly against the smoking, they would not be trying to ban the e-juice. And the reason they're banning it is one.
Well, we'll pick it up. Great, guys.
Haven't you always wanted your very own Truth Frequency Radio bumper sticker? To get the word out about the fastest growing news talk outlet in the independent media? Joe Joseph here for TruthFrequencyRadio.com. KTFRN and LibertyStickers.com have teamed up to give you your very own Truth Frequency Radio bumper sticker for free. Just go to TruthFrequencyRadio.com/stickers today. And don't forget to visit our friends at LibertyStickers.com, home of the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. Their vast selection and quality of stickers are second to none. TruthFrequencyRadio.com, because silence is consent.
We are submersed in a construct that was designed to break us and keep us broken, but it hasn't. It failed. We still go on because we were designed from an eternal template of infinite creativity and not a synthetic house of cards built on pride and false power. Breaking free from the programs and paradigms that hold us down takes courage, endurance, tenacity, and trust. The reason it is so hard is because to be a free and sovereign being, we have to smash every lie, even if it hurts. It is good to be reminded of how resilient, unbreakable, magnificent, and powerful we truly are. And if anything provides a foundation for that, it is the book, Our Universal Journey. Go to ouruniversaljourney.com.au.
After work, I'm so tired that I want to be left alone to sleep.
Hey, listen to me.
Who are you?
I'm you years ago when you felt healthy and young and everything worked on your body. Do you remember that?
Yes. I wish I felt like that now.
You can feel like that again with a new microplant powder formulation called Iodine Now. It cleans the entire body from head to toe and feeds the body what it really needs. You'll be in a better mood and you'll find more drive in your romantic life. Really? I gotta try Iodine Now and feel good again. It also protects you from radiation, heavy metals, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including cancer and most major diseases. You'll be amazed. You can be your own doctor. I want to keep you out of the hospital and off pharmaceuticals. Wow, why are you so nice to me? Because I'm you. You're out of shape, and I need a better-looking future.
Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Iodine Now, only at HitUSA.org.
This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network. We are TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Welcome back. You are listening to Truth Frequency Radio, and we are the Angry Beavers from Kanatistan. Hey. Now, we're capping off the 2014 year, and I do not recall what we were talking about before we hit the break. Not a clue. So anyways, guys, we could move on to, what do we got? We had what are some other big 2014 issues that we had? We had the Buffalo Snowcane.
Yeah, that was
Armageddon.
That was, that was a big one. And the floods that happened afterwards.
Right, I didn't get. Oh, I didn't catch up on the flooding that happened afterwards. I was busy.
Oh man, oh boy, can you imagine having floods that are 10 feet high? It's like a ice tsunami. Just unreal. Have you ever seen those guys, the ice tsunamis that come in off the water?
No.
It sounds like a freight train coming right onto the shore, and it's coming up over the landscape towards these houses. I think it was like about 2 or 3 foot thick ice.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw the video you're talking about. It was,
yeah.
I can't remember where it was, but it was inland, I think.
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely. It came inland, all right.
Yeah, I guess water underneath it was rising, and it was pushing all this ice that was breaking up onto shore. Because I had nowhere to go. That's my assumption, but I'm not too sure. You hear it a lot on the Great Lakes. If you're along the Great Lakes when it's frozen up, you get a lot of pressure cracks, a lot of ice shifting, and it can get quite noisy, especially if there's a big chunk of ice that's ripping your dock, trying to take your dock along for a ride somewhere.
Oh, I know.
That's always fun. Eh? Hey, anyone find the docks? We got to go find everyone's dock now.
Especially yeah, really.
Some people leave their floating docks in, and it's if you do it in a protected bay, depending on the type of floating dock you have, you could be okay. Hopefully, as long as it doesn't shear the anchor cable,
or your dock's about 10 miles away.
Yeah, so it's dicey, you know, but
dicey.
It makes a lot of noise. That's all I can say is the ice makes a lot of noise.
Like, we have a park down here. It's called Arundel Park, and I remember a number of years ago, just I think around March, when the weather is just breaking, and literally you see these big ice flows, big, huge chunks of ice, like you can put a car on top of it. There's big, huge things, and they're about a foot thick. It has the river down there, right? And it gets overloaded with ice, and they just just brings all this big chunks, huge chunks of ice, and it's all crumpled up together with other ones that looks like, it looks really strange. All the grass and the small trees are just leveled. And in the spring, you can see all the grass that used to be there standing up. Everything is all leveled, and it looks like just an open field. It's an unbelievable sight. I've been on them walking on these big, huge chunks of ice in the spring. So it's just phenomenal, amazing what Mother Nature can actually do.
Yeah, and then we had the dry spell in California. I don't know how many months it lasted, but it lasted quite a long time. And then they all of a sudden had some rain and had some flooding, I believe it was.
Right, yeah.
That's quite the news story as well. And we still don't know what caused the drought, whether it was HAARP or a mixture of HAARP and chemtrails. And I don't even know if it's even normal for any place. Well, it is, I believe, in some places to have no rain for several weeks or even a month or two. So,
well, didn't they have a water ban down there where you Nestle's could use the water, but nobody else has a right to water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where they're trying to put on the time showers. Put a shower on a timer.
Yeah, exactly. Hmm.
I wish that's the way it was. A certain country, even in Canada, that have a lot of forest fires, just all of a sudden flick a switch and the water would come down. That would be great if it was set up properly like that.
Wouldn't that be great to be able to control the weather patterns? If there's a hurricane coming in and there's a drought over there in California or Florida or something like that, just steer it to wherever the drought is and just let it go. You get your water. But no, they want to steer it in another direction and cause damage. That's all they do. You know, they want to.
Yeah, but it brings rain, but it also destroys your crops. So the crops that you need the rain to water, the hurricane force winds would just shred it and ruin the crop anyway. So I don't know. Hurricane, I don't think you want to get hit by a hurricane. You want to catch the edge of a hurricane. You want to be on the outskirts. You don't want to be in the eye.
Yeah.
As long as if you could steer the direction of a hurricane, you could have it come close and not hit anything and go back out to sea. But with it, steady bands of rain just coming into the interior. Like, you know, when we get a hurricane hitting the East Coast, like far away from us down in the States, we still get tons of rain off it up here, but we don't get the damaging winds and the crop devastation that can come with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I think weather manipulation, it could be, depending on how advanced they are in it, could be used to produce a lot of food and create a lot of abundance and make it very easy. But the powers that be don't seem to want to do that.
No, they don't. No, they got another part of the agenda they want to create, you know. Once they are done with one agenda, then they go on to another. So, yeah, that's what they do.
Now, but I mean, when it comes to weather manipulation like that, I mean, I'm sure they can do stuff like cloud seeding and try to get some rain going that way. But in terms of like hurricanes and that, to me, that's quite theoretical. I don't know if they have a technology that could steer a hurricane or try to influence the direction of a hurricane or a tornado in that.
Could be in the eastern pattern.
But I wouldn't doubt that they're trying to. You know, there's some scientist somewhere trying to figure out how these things work, what makes them tick, and how can we manipulate it. Are we at that level yet? Not that I know of, but.
Well, didn't Alex Jones do an interview with the father? What was he called, Mike?
Weaponized.
Father of weaponized weather, yeah.
Livingston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't he say he used to do that back in the day in the 40s or 50s?
No, monsoon season, they would seed clouds and create torrential downpours. So they had monsoon season, and then so in the off season, during monsoon season, the roads would get all muddy and washed out. It was hard for the troops to move. So as soon as monsoon season ended, they sent in these guys to seed the clouds and just keep it raining. Mm-hmm. But that's not steering a hurricane. Completely different ball of wax there.
Yeah. This is more of an agenda of you want to invade another country, and then you make it impossible for them to get around by manipulating the weather there.
It's just there's a huge difference between just a regular some rain clouds or some heavy rain clouds and a hurricane with, you know, 100 and some odd mile per hour winds. Whereas we've, you know, it's pretty much evident that we can create rain artificially, but I haven't seen any evidence that we can create or steer a hurricane. That's, you know, mm-hmm. huge storm with an eye wall. You know, same with a tornado. It's, I wouldn't doubt they're trying to, and that they have tried to.
It's in the Eastland patents that they say are the basis for the HARP. And that was one of the stories of the year, I guess, was they say they shut down HARP. They dismantled HARP.
Do you mean the one up in Alaska?
Yeah, just the one in Alaska, I guess. They could have it open somewhere else.
Or maybe they're building a more mobile one. You can just chuck it along with you on a trailer or something.
Well, it was a lot of those antennas, though, and those are huge antennas.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Exactly. How high they go, who knows?
Well, either they were able to relocate it or get it into a smaller compact units and make them more mobile, or there wasn't the real need for the application of whatever they were using it for. That's the thing. Did HARP itself ever actually admit what the hell this is all for?
No, that's a mystery. But then you'd think they would make a big fanfare that they're closing down the thing, but there wasn't much reports on it. And even in the Truth Movement, there wasn't that much. You'd think the Truth Movement would be like, oh, we got them to dismantle it. The victory declared, but they didn't even declare victory over HARP, so it's still got to be going on.
Well, Mark and I have a video on HARP. It's called Holes in Heaven, HARP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we have that. I don't know if you have that one, John or Daniel.
Yeah, that's a good one. No, I've seen it. We've got the DVD. We used to give out the DVD on the Truth Table.
But we bought this one at one of the flea markets, right, Mark?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Nice. You got the real one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I just got a burnt copy, but it's like it's a good documentary. That's the one that Martin Sheen narrates, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. And so Martin Sheen, one of these
probably knows what's going on. He's narrated this one. He narrated the one about the electric car. But then they say that guy is a Knights of Columbus, Martin Sheen.
Hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Or one of those knights. Knights of something. Knights of Malta, maybe.
But my dream job was always to be a storm chaser. That would be so cool.
Well, yeah, when I was younger, I saw, what was it, the movie Twister.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I want a Dodge Ram truck, and I'm going to chase tornadoes. And I'm like, and then I started getting older, and I'm like, who the hell's going to pay me to do something like that? Nobody, and I'm going to die. So,
the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to see who's coming in.
No, the weather forecasters in Canada get their information through sometimes storm chasers, because they give them videos and the videos go back to the studio and they bring it up on their show.
Yeah, if you go to the Weather Network, you can upload videos and photos to there. I've advocated this before because I've done it, and at first they show your photo right away, but now I think they have moderators so they don't get uploaded immediately.
Yeah.
Me and a bunch of people decided, hey, let's go over to the Weather Network's website and upload all these photos of atmospheric geoengineering and like, hey, what the hell, guys, how come this isn't on your magic screen? Where's this in your forecast? What the hell is this? I don't see this on the Weather Channel. Come on. And anyways, yeah, so there was a bunch of people, we just upload. Everyone was uploading photos, and these were people from all over the world. And now they appear to moderate them. They don't go up right away.
Info jammed.
They got info jammed. Now, I don't know. It's been a while. Their guard could be down. Should hit him up.
Yeah, that'd be the storm chaser of the future. Just reads the chemtrails. Just knows how to read the lines in the sky.
Yeah.
Well, getting back to the harp, on one of the videos, there was a man that was described who was involved with building the harp and talking about what it's all about. So you can check that out. I don't know which video it's on. Holes in Heaven, Mike. Is that where it is, where he's being interviewed?
Right, yeah. It was a good one.
Yeah, very good.
So you got to look at these kind of things. And being a storm chaser, that would be a really cool thing to do when you're getting just a couple of miles from a big tornado or a hurricane and that type of thing. And just because they build their cars that they can withstand a lot of the hurricane force winds and stuff like that, so they're pretty much safe. You couldn't just drive your e-bike through a hurricane; it just wouldn't work, right? So, but you know, like being a storm chaser, that would be so cool. I'd love that just to be there, right there in the center of the whole thing.
Yeah, I want to chase snowstorms on electric e-bikes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's more fun than chasing criminals in the government. So, yeah.
Well, the ones in government, they're like roaches. They hide in all the cracks and crevices, so they're hard to find.
Yeah,
dying an e-bike, they're pretty much easy to spot.
Yeah, it's the guy pushing his e-bike up the hill in the slush, and he keeps falling.
Yeah, he tries to get on every once in a while, but he slips off. The bike just comes from underneath him.
Yeah. Every once in a while, you see a turtle walk past him. Another turtle passes him on the side.
Oh, here comes a snail.
Snails are like, get out of honking, or get out of my way.
This reminds me. It reminds me of the sort of like a little bit of a humor there. The turtle and the snail. They got into an accident. They banged into each other, and the policeman asked the snail what happened. And the snail basically said, "I don't know. It just happened so fast." Right. It reminds me of that, so.
I don't know.
Oh, God. Oh, my.
Oh. Oh, God.
But you get it. When I look out the window now, it's like it's hazy. Like it's a fog, you know what I mean? So I think the temperatures are actually going up instead of down.
So here's some other stories we had in 2014. We had the Bundy Ranch standoff earlier in the year.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, there was a standoff between the Bureau of Land Management and Cliven Bundy at the Cliven Bundy Ranch, and a bunch of his supporters telling the federal government that, you know, basically they don't have any jurisdiction there. And there was basically a standoff because the protesters at the Bundy Ranch were all exercising their Second Amendment rights, and the small group of BLM, federal bureaucracy of land management, basically walked away facing them, like backed away. It was like some Wild West movie and stood down. And it was, I don't know, it was ridiculous. I'm just glad that nothing happened there.
Well, what's the sad story overall? Because it got infiltrated by these provocateurs. Remember there's the couple that ended up killing a cop?
Yes, there was a couple of... that was there that ended up being some cop killer.
Yeah, it was like a few weeks later, but then they show like a few weeks before they're like being interviewed on the news at the Bundy Ranch or whatever.
At the Bundy Ranch, yes. And it turned out that they had been kicked off of that ranch and nobody knew them and they didn't fit in and they were like kicked out.
But yeah, so that's the thing. If you ever like generated such a huge story that it became like a national news story, you know, like all these patriots and truthers are arriving, then it's like you get infiltrated pretty easy that way too.
Yeah, you had all kinds of people showing up there. There was patriots and truthers and conspiracy theorists and anarchists and libertarians
a few preppers
and tea partiers and preppers and you know, people from all walks, people that don't even have a political persuasion that are just like, hey, let his cows eat on this. These cows have been eating here longer than you have, so let his cows graze. And it was good to see that nothing happened. There was no gunfire. But, yeah, there was provocateurs there. And some shady media characters showed up there. Possibly shady media characters. I don't know what their intentions were. Whether it was to generate some money or some donations, I don't know. Could have been good intentioned. But what else did you have? You had the Ferguson protests in St. Louis that appeared to be provocateured as well to a much greater degree.
Yeah.
Because the protesters there, you know, at first, you just signs and stuff, it's a lot easier to provocateur them than a bunch of armed protesters. You know, the provocateurs get a little intimidated if all the protesters are actually armed.
So, yeah, that'd be true, yeah.
The provocateurs went nuts in Ferguson, and the protesters didn't seem to notice. So when the provocateurs went and burned the street down that was slated, that they were trying to get rezoned on these old buildings, the protesters defended the burning of the buildings down because they figured, well, somebody in our protest group must have burned it down. But no, this was done by provocateurs. Where's the police? Don't know. Often they have hired police to do provocateur actions. But they could have hired some private company. But the video shows quite evidently that there's people burning these buildings down dressed in black Kevlar uniforms. Like bulletproof head to toe, basically.
Yeah, and John, weren't there some information on possibly some, not war games, but exercises going on prior to the first confrontation in Ferguson?
Oh, I don't recall if there was or not. There's always,
I believe,
I wouldn't doubt it. Wouldn't surprise me because there's always some kind of drills or war games or some type of scenario they're running.
Or I think when even Mike was saying last show about that particular spot was picked in advance prior to it happening. I think you were saying,
oh, Mike, about the rezoning.
Yeah,
the rezoning. Yeah, it was like in 2012. So it was already planned out at that time that the city wanted to rezone that area. So it makes sense to have something like that happen. Not like we were saying last time about the G20 in Toronto. No, they're not going to rezone the whole place. You know, the last time they actually rezoned like downtown Toronto, like Front Street, Dundas Young, and all that area, is during the 1904 Toronto fire that gutted the whole front section down. And the buildings that you do see now are built after the 904 fire in Toronto.
So I'm trying to get the angle here. So they burned down the whole place that's slated to be rezoned, and then they can collect the insurance money and then use the insurance money to build the brand new buildings. Those buildings in Ferguson were all old, crappy buildings, it looked like. They didn't look like new, nice buildings, so... Yeah, it appears to be a scam going on there. So, you know, I wouldn't be a surprise if somebody in the city of Ferguson is in on this whole scandal.
Oh, I agree with you, sure. There has to be.
The planning department is.
Oh, definitely.
So.
And like I said before in one of the last shows, is that they have signs up saying when the construction starts and when it ends. You know, they'll even put like out here years ago, like they put signs rezoning or suit to build to suit or whatever. And some like those signs have been there for the last 20 years. They haven't touched them. Right. So all Mississauga is all growing up like crazy. And they have this one big stretch of land that has an old sign there. You can barely read it. It says build to suit. So nobody's actually bought it yet, but they're planning to build it. They go like 20 years even before before when they want to decide whether they want to build or not. It's already planned. And when you go to actually a public forum where you can comment on this kind of stuff, what do you think we should do and all this kind of stuff, I wouldn't even go. Do you know why? Because it's already a done deal. Already a done deal. They're planning to build anyway, whether they want your input or not. So there you go.
And I'm wondering, was Ferguson a particular city that was targeted for this kind of thing?
To me, I think it was more like the zoning area, that the area that is going to be zoned was the target area, not outside of that. Only that mm-hmm. stretch of area that they want to have it rezoned, that was the target.
Just like that TV show that had the Boston bombings in the show, a marathon bombing. They had it in the Fall Guy, was it, the show?
Oh, the
and then all of a sudden it happens.
Yeah, it was on the Family Guy. There was Peter was at a marathon, and also the town that they're in is somewhere near Boston. They have Boston accents. In Family Guy, right? So they're basically at Boston. They're at a marathon, so that would you would just figure, oh, it's the Boston Marathon. And I think Peter was driving his car through the Boston Marathon. That's his plan to win. And there's some explosion or something. So, I mean, right. Was that predictive programming, or was it just a coincidence? You know,
I don't know.
Those how do you prove it one way or the other?
Yeah. But I've come to the conclusion that the Boston bombings was just a drill. That's all it was, and we've used actors as the people that were wounded and all that kind of stuff, and people go around putting fake blood on everybody. That was a drill. It wasn't anything else but a drill, pure and simple. I don't care what anybody thinks. These guys did it and all this kind of stuff, but Kraft was involved to making this drill real. That's what their job was to do. Right. Even though it was just a drill, nobody got injured. I don't know if anybody got killed or not. Who knows? But nobody got injured. I've seen people walking around with, you get the shredded pants and all that kind of stuff, walking around, and that's it. So it was all a drill.
It's back in the news because they're putting the one guy on trial. The one guy that's left.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds,
water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Now I'm covered.
Now for the first time, you can be covered. If you've been waiting to be covered in mandates, regulations, and new fees, the time is finally here. So make some coffee.
I'm covered.
Approach life with reckless abandon. Kick your feet up.
I'm covered.
Because you're going to be in the waiting room for quite a while.
Healthcare.gov is not responsible for fulfilling any of the expectations, mandates, legal requirements, hopes, or dreams of any users. Results may vary. Consult your Obamacare-approved doctor or pharmacist to find out if Obamacare is right for you. Current waiting lists to have your doctor chosen for you are unavailable and will remain so for the foreseeable future. Obamacare may cause wait times, a decline in healthcare quality, money loss, political activism, anger, despair, hopelessness, frustration, European envy, dependence, and nausea. If you discover that your premiums have gone up as a result of Obamacare, please note that the program is working as intended and refrain from complaining. Call your doctor if you experience anxiety for longer than 4 hours. If you wish to opt out of Obamacare for any reason, please start a multi-million-dollar business, join a union, or run for Congress.
Sound Doctrine Ministries with Kenneth Emanuel.
Sundays on Truth Frequency Radio.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see. World order, world order, world order.
Welcome to Detroit City. I said welcome to Detroit City. Every place, everywhere we go. Yeah, we deep everywhere we roll. That's the realm and they all know tricky.
Welcome back to Detroit Broke City here on Angry Beaver Radio, kicking off the 2015 first broadcast. We're actually live in Kanatistan, but what can I say? Now, I've got good news. I've got a secondary income. I've just picked up a new e-bike, and I've attached a snow shovel blade to the front to use as a plow, and I got a city contract. All is good. I'll be clearing the highways with my e-bike and my shovel. What do you guys think?
Did you get the weather app as well?
The weather, yeah, I got the weather app. It's like it's on my phone there, and I can use it while I'm. And I always plow the wrong direction. For you motorists out there, you see an e-bike coming at you with a shovel on the front, the wrong way, get out of the way. I don't got insurance.
And or a bike helmet.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, look at the bicycle helmets. What is that going to do? It's a piece of styrofoam with a thin layer of plastic. It's not going to do much if you get in a serious collision.
Actually, I've seen a lot of people riding around with actual motorcycle helmets.
Well, that makes more sense because that could take.
So they put it on over top of their bike helmet.
A motorcycle helmet on top of their bike helmet?
Yeah, make them look taller.
Awesome. What about just a leather cap and a scarf?
Yeah.
That's all you need, maybe a pair of goggles.
Remember, have you guys seen the first Dumb and Dumber movie? When they trained the van, he trains the van in to some kid for a little dinky scooter moped thing? That's all this reminds me of. In 2015, it's Dumb and Dumber. Duh.
Yeah, get more Dumb and Dumber. Dumbest, you know.
Yeah,
there's a few you forgot to mention though. At the top stories of last year was the Ebola outbreak.
Oh, that was yes, another big one.
It was the biggest outbreak of the year,
and still not over yet, guys.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Didn't they find Scotland?
Yes, Scotland just got hit with it.
So they're still spreading around through the nurses, I guess, nurses and medical staff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they keep transporting these people around that got some sort of symptoms. You don't really know, but they're transporting these people around, and you know they're spreading all this kind of stuff. I think they know what they're doing. They want to do want to spread it because Dr. Carley had said that CDC have a patent on Ebola, which they have a patent on a lot of things. That's all part of the agenda. So I think that's
you just stop talking about it. According to the numbers just keep going up. So the reason, I mean, they just stop talking about it in the media, and then everyone forgets about it. But it just shows you the power of the mainstream media still.
Definitely.
And it even affects the alternative media, because we're playing guard, basically. So if they drive this story and it's number one, now we're now we're on defense. We have to cover the story.
That's true.
It's mostly a distraction. Or we know, you know, I'm not going to get Ebola, but now you're playing defense to try to counter the propaganda that they're putting in. But more and more, you're seeing alternative media is driving the story.
We got to basically take their story and redirect it in another direction, which I think we have the power to do. That's what we should be doing. You know, instead of letting them run with the ball, we got to make them drop the ball once in a while, which they've done on a number of occasions. That's why their ratings are so low, you know. But we should redirect this, take that negative and make it into a positive. I think maybe the numbers of Ebola deaths are maybe inflated. They create numbers. They can create numbers to make it look really worse than what it really is, and that way they can hype the numbers of deaths, and then they can just go back and say, well, I guess we're going to have to get a vaccine for this Ebola, right? Because there's a big pandemic out there, which they created in the first place through numbers. You know, it's all a numbers game, right? Even if there was just one Ebola death, but they just make that one, inflate it, and put several zeros and commas in there to make it look bigger than what it really is. That's what I'm thinking it's all about.
Well, it is that simple for them to do that. It's, you know, just manipulate the numbers, they can manufacture any type of crisis.
Yeah, just like the voting scam that we saw last year, where they're putting more yes votes on the no table and the other way around.
Oh, the Scotland.
Yeah.
The Scottish independence vote that was completely, like, it's like they purposely went out of their way to show everybody, hey, we rigged this Scottish independence vote. Because, they were, like, so deliberately showing how fraudulent it was. But then it goes deeper, because Daniel was talking about, what was it, the Orange Society or something?
Yeah, the Orange Order were campaigning for vote yes. So they went, or the vote no, I mean. So they end up winning.
Right.
Vote yes, though, definitely when I was over there, they seemed to have more support. Like, there's actually some vote yes signs and stuff. But vote no, there's, like, no signs. It's like a quiet campaign. It's just that one, a few weeks before the vote, they did have that big march. It's like the Orange Order marches. They're all in their Masonic aprons and stuff.
Yeah, that's where you get over here. Years ago, they had the Orange Parade. I remember that. Going from, like, the CNE up through the Dufferin Gates over here to King and Queen Street. They used to have the parade going up and down. I remember that, seeing that as a kid.
The kicker is that the people that wanted the Scottish independence, these groups, if you looked into them, were inherently globalist and Marxist in nature, very much the same as being a part of Britain anyway. That was the joke of it all. Like, even if they rigged a vote that didn't even matter, you know what I mean? Because you're being led around by some Marxist globalist stooge. If you vote for your independence, or you can stay with Britain and be led around by some Marxist globalist stooge. I mean, it wasn't a vote for independence. It was a fake vote for independence. And they rigged the fake vote for independence on TV purposely and showed everybody, hey, we're rigging it. Look it, we're putting you could see that there were no votes.
Yeah.
They're counting them as yes, and the yes votes were counted as no. Like, it's clearly like they did it on purpose. So I don't know, some kind of a weird psyop.
Well, usually things like this are done behind the scenes, but they're really bold and brazen, so they want to do it right out in front of you. Just to see if you could see it.
It's a psyop, but I don't understand the angle of it.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Well, I think it could have had a big ricochet effect if they actually had voted, if it had been a legitimate vote count, then and it had gone yes, then other places around the world could start their own independence movements. whether they're hijacked or not.
It's just like the Quebec independence separatist movements are completely globalist UN horrors.
Yeah, and they actually showed that Quebec observers arrived for the voting.
Quebec observers arrived in Scotland for the voting.
Yeah. And there's a province in Spain, I think, too. They're trying to separate Catalonia province or something. So there is still some independent movements, but
they masquerade as people for independence. They masquerade as separatists. But they're the same globalist stooges that you have, running the big parties.
Yeah, David Cameron.
So if the people of Quebec really wanted to separate, well, I think it's their decision. I mean, I don't want to see them go, but I think it's up to them. But the separatist party, the Bloc Québécois and the Parti Québécois, federal and provincial separatist parties, they just push UN propaganda. They're just globalists. So they're going to, separate from Canada and be part of the globalist UN Agenda 21 nonsense, which we already are, which the Quebec already is, whether they're attached or detached from Canada, and they all have no say in what's really going on in their country.
So what currency would they use?
I don't even think it matters at this point.
Yeah.
It's all – nobody's got real money, so
yeah,
what exactly. Does it matter? Even the value of the fake money doesn't even matter. Like if one country's currency is worth more than another, I mean it's all phony.
Yeah. Well, I've been to Quebec a few times, and it's beautiful out there, you know, going up the St. Lawrence and all that kind of stuff, and going to Le Chateau Frontenac, having a room there, and you feel like you're in another country. You do. I've known that for a long time. Feel like you're in another country, but you look at the currency, it's the same thing, you know. It's really nice down there, yeah.
Speaking of the currency, I always love how they compare the U.S. dollar and the Canadian dollar, especially here in Canada. They're always comparing to the U.S. dollar. Oh, we're up. Oh, we're down. Oh, no. And it's all completely irrelevant because they're both fiat currencies backed by nothing but farts and unicorns. They're both falling. They're all falling. It's all inflationary. All the fiat currencies around the world have lost like 90-something-odd% of their purchasing power in the last 100 years. So this comparing nothing to nothing, well, this nothing is worth X amount and this nothing is worth X amount. Well, why don't they compare it to gold or oil or
It's because it's not sustainable. That's why.
Well, the Canadian dollar falling a penny or going up a penny against the American dollar, it doesn't tell you. It just tells you that they're falling at slightly different rates. They're all falling in value at a slightly different rate. Now, sometimes the Canadian dollar picks up velocity in its devaluation, and sometimes the American picks up a little more speed. But the economy's screwed. So when they say, oh, well, the dollar is up a little bit, oh, the economy. No, it's not. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Up against what? Another phony dollar. It's like, well, the unicorn's doing better against the other unicorn over there. Well, how does that help the economy? Well, unicorn. All right. I've had enough economic LSD from MSNBC and CNN and all these arseholes.
Yeah, what about the gas prices? What about that, guys?
Oh, the gas prices, I don't know what the gas price is. It's still too high for the price of the barrel of oil is low, and the price of the pump is still too high. Yes, it's come down, but it is no way cheap. Look at how much they're paying for oil per barrel and how much it's come down. It's come way down, and we're still getting nailed and raped at the pump.
Yeah.
You should be demanding
supply and demand
50 cent or 60 cent a liter gasoline. That's 50 cent a liter. What would that be in gallons? A couple dollars a gallon or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think $2 a gallon or something. Consumers should be demanding. And, of course, that would probably just artificially raise the price of oil for demanding the cheaper price, but whatever. But there's manipulation. There's an oil energy war going on between many powers, not just Saudis, not just Russians. We're involved in it. And it's kind of hard to see who's on what side.
Yeah, when they're all wearing the same clothes.
Well, there's so many players involved. And so the Saudis artificially lower the price of oil. It puts a squeeze on Russia, but it also puts a squeeze on America and Canada and many other oil-producing nations. So are the Saudi Arabians attacking the Russians, or are they just attacking everybody and in it for themselves? I don't know, but the financial future, it's hard to say whether we're going to have inflation or deflation. You know, nobody ever talks about the deflation.
Yeah.
And this can occur when everyone's broke and has no job, and it doesn't matter how much money they print. No one's making any money in the public sector to buy anything. And then that's when you get, you know, the price is starting to return to normal. That's where you can get deflation. I'm not saying we'll get that, but it's one of those factors. Yes, there's inflation based that the currency is based on nothing. It would only be appropriate that we have inflation, but the markets are all rigged. They got gold and silver rigged. Yes, it's going to have physical, but the gold and silver market is mostly paper, which is mostly unicorns, nothing. They don't have the gold and silver to back all these promissory notes that they sold to people saying, here's a promissory note for 1 ounce of gold or 1 ounce of silver. You know, for every 100 pieces of paper they promised for, you know, ounces of gold and silver, for every 100 ounces, they might have one physical ounce.
Mm-hmm. Right? Well, the gold right now is down pretty low. I think, what is it, 1,200? Well, something like that?
I don't know, but it's I haven't checked recently. But same with silver. Silver has been going down. If it goes down any further, I'm going to try to buy some more because take advantage of it. Because I don't know how long this deflationary period will last. It may get worse, but it could quickly swing into hyperinflation or inflation, in which case you'll see gold and silver skyrocket back up. But in a deflationary period, you could see silver go down as far as $7. And I'm not saying that's out of the realm of possibility, because it's, again, all the markets are rigged. They cut off the supply to the people. The people don't. It doesn't matter how much money they print. If the people don't have money to buy anything, then there's no demand for it, and the price of everything goes down. So, yes, I know about inflation, but there's also that deflationary, piece that they can play. And really, it's all about them catching you, the public, off guard. So I would bank on both possibilities. And there's always the possibility that they'll just keep doing quantitative easing and quantitative easing over and over, and then it just slowly over time gets worse and worse. You know, I don't know if we're going to get a real bump in the market, but
yeah. Well, I think silver is below $20, I believe.
I think it's somewhere around 15.
Yeah, I was thinking of that too. Yeah, wow. I think we should all go out shortly and just gobble up several bars or coins or whatever. I think.
Well, it could be down around 15, but have good luck trying to find physical bars of silver for that cheap. If you can, great. But it usually takes a while. Sometimes it takes months. Sometimes it has to go down for months and then hold before you finally get the drop in the physical market.
Right.
Remember when you had silver almost around 50, close to 50 bucks? Well, it dropped off. There was a slight steep dive right down to 30 after that in a short amount of time. You couldn't get an ounce of silver for anywhere near $30 physical at that time. People wanted 50. People wanted 45. Stock market, yeah, but the stock market says 30. I'll give you 32, and people just laugh. And even the bullion dealers that typically trade within $1.50 to $2.50 of spot on silver, they couldn't do it. They're like, no, they'll be out of business if they reflected the stock market's numbers.
Well, yeah, my silver coin, when I bought it in 2011, Steve warned me, he said, you shouldn't buy it. It's way too high. You know, like buying something high, thinking that it's going to go up when you should be buying it when it's low and thinking that it's actually going to go up. That would have been the better bet, but I didn't do that. I just went and bought it anyway for, I think it was $30-something. Right, but you have to negotiate with them, right? And so you end up getting it for $40 or something like that, you know. But when is it ever going to go back up to $40? Who knows?
Oh, it might. I mean, we're dealing with a monopoly money system, the money that's backed by nothing. If the confidence ever goes out of the dollar, then the value of it goes down considerably. So, I mean, in terms of if you ever have hyperinflation, you're going to be glad you have silver. It'll be worth a hell of a lot more than $40.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing you hang on to. It has real value, real physical value. Most people who have gold or silver don't have the physical gold or silver. They have a promissory note from some bank who doesn't have their gold or silver.
Right, yeah.
And they took their money.
Yeah, but Lawrence said gold and silver is a commodity.
And they're charging them money to store these bars that they don't even have. Every month they're charging them bar fees to hang on to these bars to keep them safe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These people don't realize that if they all went to the bank to say, hey, here's my paper. I want to get my gold or my silver bars out of my thing that you're holding. They don't have them. They'll have one bar for every 100. It's fractional reserve, just like the banking, where you put in a dollar into the bank, and they multiply that by 8 or 9 or 10, depending on what country you live in, and they loan that dollar. Now they have $8. They loan out $8. You just put in $1, and now they're loaning out $8. Well, they don't even have $8. They have the one.
Yeah, just the one. Yeah,
doesn't even make sense.
That's your real money right there. Is the one.
Yeah, so I mean, it's fractional reserve banking is very similar to the fractional reserve fake gold and silver market, which is still attached to the physical gold and silver. Like the fake paper market is attached to the physical gold and silver prices to some degree. I mean, when you get a $10 drop, you don't see that in the actual price. It'll take a couple months for you to see it on the street. Because people, they're not going to take a hit like that. We don't care how many fake pieces of paper you're trading back and forth on Wall Street, or digital fake pieces of paper you're trading around on Wall Street. None of the real bullion dealers are going to take the hit. Neither are the buyers. And luckily, a lot of them have not been taking the hit because the buyers realize the value and the sellers are not going to, you know, they're not going to buy something at $25 an ounce and then sell it for $15, lose $10 on each ounce they sell. I mean, that's absurd.
Yeah.
And the buyers, a lot of the buyers in the silver market and the physical silver market recognize this and appreciate this. So, you know, that's what's kept this market alive. Otherwise, the fake, phony paper market would have destroyed, gold, the real physical market, and destroyed mining as a byproduct. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was going to the bank, you know, like TD or whatever, and I talk about how money is created and all that kind of stuff. They don't know anything about, I didn't know that. Oh, I was to check out the Money Masters about the Federal Reserve back in 1913. And I said, I'll have to check on that too, right? And I've talked to people about that, but they don't know anything. Tellers are basically puppets, you know what I mean, to the CEO of TD Bank. You know, they're all puppets at the front. They don't know anything about what they only know what they're doing at the table. You know, just transferring your money or your invisible money. Like if you want to put one chunk of money to another account or something like that, it's all digitalized. It's not real physical money. It's just digitalized, and that's all they're doing with it.
They're just like the cashier at the grocery store.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, I mean, the bank teller doesn't know how money's created, where it comes from. They typically don't know the history of money. They just work a register. They work a computer. And, it's just like the person at the grocery store. They don't know who grew the food, who farmed the animals. They don't know what farm it really came from. They know, all they really know is some guy named Ed drives a truck, came in Sunday and drops in the food, and they stock the shelves. They don't really know much about the nutritional value of the food they're getting, whether it's GMO or it's not. They're just a cashier at the grocery store. And the employees at the banks, they're not privy to all this high-level corruption. They don't know any of this is going on. And again, they don't know, you know, who the guy is that prints the money or where it comes from. And the thought never really entered the question never entered their mind, really, to many of them.
Well, didn't they want to ask any questions? Usually if you apply for a job, you ask, well, do you have any questions? How is money created and all this kind of stuff? They don't answer these or even ask these questions, you know, to your new employer, you know, when you're being interviewed. But I guess if you were wanting to tell your employer, your bank employer, so how is money created? I'd like to know. Maybe it might help me out, a little bit more knowledge of where money comes from. Nothing like that ever has ever been taught to the employees, so that's why they don't know anything. They don't know that the CEO of TD Bank is a member of the Bilderberg Group. I told that to one of the tellers across the street. He didn't know. Oh, I'm going to have to check that out. Yeah, it's strange, you know, how money is created.
Well,
I'll have to check
on the attendee list. Was it the 2014 Bilderberg meeting?
Right, yeah.
They've had TD has sent members, like employees, to the Bilderberg meeting before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if they're actual members.
No, they're there every year.
I know there's attendees. I don't know if it means they're an actual member or if there's a membership. All I know is that there's a meeting of all these heads of big banks and corporations and, you know.
Yeah. Like the CEO of McDonald's, the founder of McDonald's, Ray Kroc, he went to the Bilderberg Group in 1955, but he was an attendee. He was only there once.
Now, the Bilderberg Group puts out claims that they started the European Union. It was their idea, and that's, you know. So how much power do they really wield? I don't know. It's a very secretive group. I mean, the meetings are private. The closest most of the protesters get is right to the meeting, to the grounds, and then they get met with security. So we don't really know. There's been stuff leaked out of there. And the Bilderberg Group claims that they started the European Union. Now, that could be true, but I'm not sure if they did or not. I mean, that could just be to give them more mystique. Give them, you know, more bragging rights. Oh, yeah, look more big and bad if we're, you know.
But
I don't know.
I've heard that they actually have a website. The Bilderberg Group do have a website, because before they never did. But now people know where they are and where they're going, but they don't know exactly what's going on inside. But they have a website.
They got the full agenda. They got the logo, though. Is that, you can download that.
Yes.
Both Press for Truth and We Are Change, too, had as their highlights of the year last year, both included the clip where they got thrown out of the lobby. Remember that scene?
Right, yeah.
Say that the Bohemian Grove and the Bilderberg are two events and meeting places where very high-level people power meet. And what they discuss, I mean, it's kind of up in the air, but they do exist. That's not, the theory is what goes on there.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order.
Yeah.
A world
well,
of the rule of law.
Yeah, thank you for listening.
The law of the jungle governs the conduct of nations.
According to a 2010 earnings report, Google earns nearly $80 million in a single day. On August 15, 2012, Google was fined $22 million by the FTC for illegally stealing your data. Google learned its lesson, right? Wrong. The very next day, in a show of arrogance, the Washington Post reported that Google employees rode tricycles around sacred Mayan ruins.
Because we know where you are. We know where you've been. We can more or less guess what you're thinking about.
Can you trust this megalomaniac with your personal information? Can you trust Google? With Microsoft's Bing, Steve Ballmer has personally ensured your privacy. He's even partnered with Facebook to keep you connected to your loved ones. Make the moral choice. Decide with Bing.
I'm Steve Ballmer, and I approve this message.